Very happy to be joined right now by Nate Ulrich. He covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. This is year, what year are you going into now on this beat?
Third season.
Third season, yeah. Wow. That time's flown.
Yeah, it sure has.
So you've seen a lot of interesting, obviously, over the last few years, but particularly the last two, of this Mike Holmgren regime and trying to see how things come together now as we get to the critical mass part, which is picking the players. And it's the combine coming up next week. You're getting ready for that. You'll be there. I'll be there. And obviously free agency on March 13th. But where I want to start with you, Nate, is in general, we've heard a lot of outside discussion, analysts like Mike Mayock from NFL Network and Todd McShay from ESPN speaking recently about their thoughts on what the Browns will do. What do you take from that? I know it's just opinions, but how much credence are you putting in that in terms of where they're coming from?
Well, yeah, I was on conference calls with both those guys recently, and I've got to say it's all about RG3 mania.
Yeah.
When they talk about the Browns, you know.
Sure.
I know all your listeners are constantly giving you feedback and wanting to know plenty about Robert Griffin III.
It's a daily thing around Cleveland Browns daily. Driven by Liberty Ford. Yes.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. And I mean, the biggest thing I took away from Mike Mayock of NFL Network was he thinks not only should the Browns trade up to get RG3 at number two, but he thinks that the Browns should tweak their West Coast offense to make RG3 the playmaker that he's capable of being. They think they need to tweak the system to make him comfortable in it.
And that's a fascinating point that I heard him make, because what does tweaking mean? And it's easy, I guess, to say, easier to say, I think, probably than to do. But I wonder about that, because if you do, I mean, clearly there are always two ways to go about this. Find the player that fits what you're doing, which I think is what most teams generally do. You don't try to if you take a player and then adjust everything else to the player, because that does become pretty difficult. You got to have a base plan and a base philosophy. However, at the quarterback position, how much variation do you really think could be made, say, with the West Coast attack as it stands, to still be something that Pat Shurmur understands, that Brad Childress, you know, knows how to coach as an offensive coordinator, yet takes advantage of the skills if a Robert Griffin were here?
Yeah, I think that there's a compromise that has to be made. And I think it's, you know, the coaching staff being a little flexible but sticking to their principles. And I think that you saw a little bit with it this past season with Colt McCoy. There was an evolution, so to speak, with him in terms of letting him play in the shotgun a little more.
Right.
And I think that's something that, you know, that's just an example of a tweak you can make to, you know, Pat Shurmur's version of the West Coast offense. And I think one that you might see with, if, you know, RG3 ended up here, because, I mean, everybody says it, look at him at Baylor, he's almost always in the shotgun. And,
yeah,
you know, that's just an example. But I think that, you know, I think this coaching staff would, you know, be able to make the necessary adjustments. And I think Brad Childress, you know, having him aboard and his experience with quarterbacks would certainly help in that process.
It's movement, obviously. It's being willing, and the Browns certainly had some movement plays for Colt McCoy. I mean, he was booted out in a lot of situations, maybe not as often as you might have wanted to see, just from a quarterback who does a good job on the move. And I know there was also maybe a little bit of trepidation when he threw some picks while on the move. But that said, you do look at a player like RG3, and it does seem like he is number one, a guy who everything he does with his feet allows him to excel, to move to a higher level, right? He has the great arm to go with that, a really good arm to go with that. But I just wonder how much of all of that, and I've seen the West Coast operate with mobile quarterbacks and operate pretty well. I guess the question, I'm thinking mostly of a Jeff Garcia, not so much maybe with the Browns, but with the 49ers, right, in his heyday. He was pretty much playing in that system and moving.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously moving is part of RG3's game, and he does it so well because he's such a tremendous athlete and he's got that crazy speed. But, you know, one of the big questions, and this is all related, but one of the big questions other than can he fit in the Browns system is, well, how would his height affect him? You know, yeah. he's listed as 6'2" by Baylor. We'll find out next week at the combine how tall he actually is.
Yeah, the true measurement.
Right. So, you know, Mayock was saying that, you know, if you look at the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, how many are, you know, quote-unquote shorter quarterbacks who are really playing at a high level, and everyone points to Drew Brees. Well, he thinks the RG3 can be that kind of a guy because of his ability to move and find lanes that other guys aren't going to find.
Right.
He thinks he has a very rare ability to do that. And I think that, yeah, you know, that would be part of adjusting this system for him. You know, I think that would be – that would obviously be necessary in a lot of ways to let him find those lanes and to allow him to, you know, do the things that he can really do well, and maybe overcome some of the stereotypes that are associated with shorter quarterbacks.
Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And it gets you can certainly work yourself up to a level of excitement when you see a player like that and the possibilities that exist, and knowing how much the fan base out there is clamoring. But again, how much can you control on that? You got the fourth overall pick. That doesn't assure you of getting anybody. I mean, it assures you of getting a guy who will be there when you're there. But if you're not moving to a spot and know that guy is available, and right now, you know, you can't even say for sure that that's the number one spot. If in fact the Colts surprise and say, okay, it's not Andrew Luck, it's RG3 we'd rather have after all of our assessment. So that remains in doubt. So it's sort of a fun game to play, but it can also be a maddening one, because you can get your mind all wrapped up in hearing all these analysts say, this is the guy the Browns should get, this is the guy the Browns could be in great position to get, this is the guy the Browns will get. And yet I can't make myself believe that that's a rock-solid thing just because of the fact that it's the fourth pick and not the first pick.
Right, and not only, hey, everything you said is right, but let's remember that it's still really early and we haven't even hit free agency yet. You know?
Yeah.
We're not in a lockout year, so free agency starts at 4 p.m. March 13th. It's going to come before the draft.
Yep.
So these things will progress naturally, and you know, teams' needs will be whittled down in free agency, and then we'll see. I mean, you know, a lot of these analysts we've been talking about, including, you know, we've mentioned Mayock and McShay. Well, McShay thinks, he's convinced, if you want RG3 and you're the Browns at number four, you're going to have to trade up to get him. He's convinced, you know, this is going to have to happen. Well, we don't know what's going to happen in free agency. Like I said, what if somehow, you know, what if the Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins, the two other logical candidates to trade with the St. Louis Rams up to the number two slot, what if Peyton Manning lands in Washington, or Matt Flynn lands in Miami, you know, that changes
their plans.
So we don't know that. We also don't know if the Browns have it in their mind that, you know, hey, we'll take RG3 if he's at four, or we're going to go get this guy. How much do we like him? How much do we want to give up? We have the fourth and 22nd overall picks. Are we willing to move those in a deal to the Rams to get that guy? Is he our guy? And, you know, there's so many questions. It is a fun game. It is a crazy game.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, like I said, we're going to have to see what happens in free agency to really have a better idea. And then even then, on draft day, the first round, April 26th, you know, it's anybody's guess.
And if you can make yourself believe that it happens, then the real fun will start with, okay, he's here, and like you said, what do you do with him, and how does it change the whole complexion of your franchise and what you're doing and the program and the, you know, this is still a rookie quarterback. This is still a guy who needs some time to develop. So the excitement can only go, I guess, so far with the notion of there's a real chance that this guy – if he gets on the field for you, might be limited what he actually gives you. Now, you know, you could say, yeah, but look at the Andy Dalton, you know, his success. That team got to the playoffs. Look at how well Cam Newton performed. They didn't get to the playoffs, but it was very promising. And so you have those stories of teams that had success with rookie quarterbacks, but that's – I don't know if those are real templates. In fact, I'm pretty sure they aren't.
Right, you don't know, and then obviously there's going to be a learning curve, and there's going to be bumps along the way, and obviously with a rookie quarterback coming in, you don't know if they'll start him right away.
Right.
But you know, if it were RG3 and you do trade up, or even if you get him at four, you invest that much in him, you probably want him to play, you know, sooner and later and get some of the growing pains out of the way. But, you know, obviously, you know, that's not a sure thing.
No.
So a lot of it, I think, has to do with how he will adjust to the system, you know, if he does indeed end up here and where he is in terms of learning. Now, everybody says he's brilliant, just a really bright kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, and obviously, you know, Vic, that's one of the things that they're going to find out next week, and they're going to find it out, you know, at the combine, at his pro day March 22nd, and in his visits to the teams. They're going to, those interviews are really going to be big factors, I think, in determining, you know, for teams, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. They're going to be big factors for teams when they decide, hey, is this guy worth trading up for?
And it's going to add to what is already a fascinating time there in Indianapolis in the latter part of next week, where, as we say, we're going to try to guess at what the Browns are focused on. Talking with George Warhop earlier in this show, you know, he'll be there obviously looking at his position, which is offensive line, which is considered one of the primary spots of interest for this Browns team. Certainly Gary Brown, the running backs coach, he was in Mobile along with Coach Warhop looking at running backs there at the Senior Bowl. He'll be checking that out. And that's another area that you would guess is going to be important. Mike Wilson, wide receivers coach, wide receivers being another spot that is talked about a great deal. But everything, we can come up with all these trade scenarios, and it affects all the plans and thoughts of, well, if you had two first-round picks, you can address two critical areas of need. But if you take and make a deal for one, then you've decided basically you're investing your draft or the biggest portion of it into one guy.
Yeah, and, you know, so far today we've talked all about RG3 and the Browns.
Yeah.
What if RG3 doesn't come to the Browns, which obviously, like you said, is not rock solid by any means.
By no means.
But, you know, when you ask the McShays and the Mayocks of the world, what if the Browns don't trade up to get RG3, somebody else gets him, what happens then? And a lot of the feedback I'm getting is, look at Trent Richardson, the running back from Alabama. Look at Justin Blackmon, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
You know, that, and then at the 22nd pick, maybe a Baylor wide receiver, Kendall Wright.
Right.
Maybe Notre Dame wide receiver. Floyd?
Floyd.
Right. Sorry, it slipped my mind.
Okay.
So, you know, those are some of the guys that you think they might target, and they all make sense because, you know, Pat Shurmur, Tom Heckert, Mike Holmgren have all lamented the offensive struggles last year. You know, he finished near the bottom of the league in total offense and scoring, and you know you gotta augment that side of the ball because the defense is young and promising, and sure, you know, you need a right defensive end, you need an outside linebacker, you probably need another cornerback, but the you know, needs on offense, I think, far outweigh the needs on defense right now, and I think pretty much everybody's on board with that. Not saying they won't go defense in the first round. You can't rule that out either.
No.
But I think that, you know, you're gonna look offense and you're gonna target that first. At least I think that's kind of the priority. Right,
I mean,
now,
I get the sense that's the priority, that's the intention. By no means is anyone, you know, given me an indication, nor do I have it in my mind to say, yep, there's it's 100% they're gonna avoid defense with, say, their first two picks, or, you know, within these first couple of rounds of this draft. No, they could very well take a defensive player, and it would make great sense if they did, because they don't have all the answers on that side of the ball either, even though it was the stronger side of the team. So that's a real possibility. Nate, great stuff. I look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis and talking more about this, because it's just going to get more interesting from then on.
Oh, it definitely will. Thanks again, Vic.
All right. That is Nate Ulrich. He covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. Joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.